welcome back. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we are in retrograde central right now. We talked a lot in detail last week specifically about the Venus retrograde, which started May 13th and goes through to June 25th. And that's the retrograde that really affects interpersonal relationships, as well as kind of our own self-love and our relationship with ourselves. Similarly, Pluto went retrograde, which we already touched on in April, starting April 29th, and will continue to retrograde through October 4th. And Pluto really shakes up systems and structures. Personally, I'm not as mad at this one. I mean, I think it can be a bit of a rocky ride and has been. But I do think that Pluto retrograde has the capacity to do more good than harm and will actually inspire much needed changes that need to occur in the world. Mid-May also brought in two other big retrogrades. So in true Cardzi B fashion, I'm going to give you the good news first. The first of those two, Jupiter, went retrograde May 14th and will continue through November 12th. Jupiter is my favorite planet of all time for many reasons. First of all, obviously, it rules my sun sign of Sagittarius. I was born on a Thursday, which is Jupiter's day. And it's just overall, it is the planet of expansion and opportunity. It's the card that that rules the card Wheel of Fortune, my favorite card. So I love Jupiter. If I was going to be one of the Sailor Moon girls, I would be Sailor Jupiter. She's the bomb. But why I like this even in a retrograde, it's kind of like one of those tarot cards that you like either upright or reverse, and you're like, either way, I'm happy to see you. I feel that way about Jupiter. Jupiter can bring luck even in retrograde, especially when helping us to kind of reevaluate and align our purpose in things. Jupiter retro can also bring up truths that were kind of hidden and in a helpful way for things to become clearer and for us to kind of know how we want to move forward. A good example of Jupiter's retrograde would be experiencing abundance or opportunity through an unexpected source, like a way that you didn't plan it, but you're totally grateful when it comes up. My friend Desi Wolf she's been on the podcast before. She's an incredibly talented musician and videographer, and she created this really inspiring video montage of New Yorkers singing and dancing to her hit single that came out last year called Om. And Om, it's one of my favorite songs, not just because she's such a good friend of mine, it's just a really, really beautiful, like powerful anthem about presence, about taking a deep breath when you're faced with life's adversities and really leaning into that present moment and trusting that the universe has our backs. So she had a feeling that this song would be shared in a big way. I mean, it is just a really powerful song. It's such a beautiful message, especially in this time. And after she put out this video montage, it was shared with a lot of people and eventually got in the hands of Maybelline and their marketing team. And they contacted her to work on a New York-centered campaign about beauty and, you know, what that looks like to New Yorkers at this time. So this was an awesome opportunity, but like kind of came in a very different way through a different avenue, a different source than what she could have expected. And Jupiter retrograde can work like that. So still often usually really good news, but it's best to be open to what's in your highest and best interest in this time versus trying to manifest very, very specific goals, because Jupiter retrograde can totally surprise you with how that's coming in. It could often be even better than you expected, but in a different way. So last of the retrogrades, and definitely my least favorite, is Saturn, of course. Saturn retrogrades from May 11th through September 25th. And in essence, Saturn, as always, is all about tough love, and the retrograde is kind of reevaluating your goals and your commitments. This can show up in the form of kind of energetic pop quizzes, like, are you sure you still want that thing? Are you sure this is how you want to work with that? Again, mean teacher energy, but often, yes, helpful in the long run. I have a very, you know, strained relationship with Saturn. And of course this is, Pluto's technically the longest, but we've been in that for a while. This one goes from May 11th to September 25th. So this one's a pretty long one too. I experienced this in a big way last week, and I've As I've stated, you all know who listen to me, who follow my social media. I love New York City so, so much. And it was my lifelong goal to live here for a million reasons, not least of which was because it instantly felt like home to me. It felt very accepting of me as my authentic self. It was a place I could always dress, act, speak freely, and not only feel unafraid to do so, but be accepted and embraced for doing so. And like the rest of the world, the global crisis has deeply also changed my safe little island of Manhattan. And there are so many drastically different views in how different individuals believe this crisis should be handled and which fears are the most quote unquote real or the most important, when actually they're all very real to each individual experiencing them. They're all very important. And I'm going to share something that I realize is probably a very unpopular perspective. And I realize I might even lose some listeners and some followers, but it is my truth. So I hope in doing so, it may cause you to understand an opposing perspective, or if you're like me and you've been struggling with some aspect of this yourself and you're feeling a little bit of shame around it, maybe it will help remind you that you're not alone. So here it is. I really, really struggle with masks. I wear them when I go out of integrity and out of respect, but it's something that is quite triggering for me. So when I was 12 years old, I was extremely and severely bullied to the point that my family had to seek legal counsel and get a restraining order, as extreme threats were made involving knives and things that no 12-year-old should ever hear or be exposed to. And by the time I turned 13, I had my first experience with really dark, detailed suicidal thoughts and wanting to take my own life, because I thought, if this is what the world looks like, because when you're a kid, you don't know that there's more out there, you know, that you can go somewhere safe, that, you know, Amsterdam and New York City look very different than, you know, central rural Pennsylvania. So anyway, the older kids that chased and taunted, it was me and my one and only friend. I was super, super smart, but very unattractive and very weird. So I had one friend, so grateful for her. We're still friends. She texted me today. I feel like we literally survived a war together. So, anyway, these older boys that taunted and chased me and my one friend on a daily basis, they were relentless, and they would follow us home from school. They would, you know, say terrible, like really vulgar, sexual, violent things to us. They, to the point that we would meet up right after class was done for the day when we were in junior high and get on the bus together, sit together at the very front behind the bus driver so that they couldn't, like literally they would, you know, throw objects at us. They would just do terrible and say terrible things. We had to eventually get handwritten permission to exit the school bus at one of the others, you know, homes. Usually whosoever parents were home, we would, whatever. I would get off at her house, she would get off at mine out of safety. And these kids who tormented us, they often showed up in ski masks. So from just a very, you know, psych 101 basic level, this masks have a lot of trauma from my childhood for me. They're not my favorite. I learned to associate them with cruelty, with attack, with the masking or covering of human empathy. So it hasn't been fun for me to go out and see, you know, the whole world in masks, especially when people are very fearful and often look angry and can come across as aggressive. On a deeper level, one that I don't even fully understand, I believe it may honestly be linked to past lives. I feel very, very restricted and muzzled when I wear one, that my throat chakra is being forced closed, like I'm being gagged, when, especially for extended periods. So during this time in quarantine, I've also began having really graphic nightmares of some sort of like government camps where I'm a prisoner and like I'm, you know, tied and bound. And it's been hard. That basically it's been hard for me. So when this became not just the law to enter supermarkets, but to leave our homes in New York City, you know, always in masks, it became, you know, it did become more challenging. And I definitely want to show respect for those in fear of the virus. I also want to not be perceived as selfish or dismissive or ignorant. So luckily, due to my design background, I started creating these clear shielded hats that wrap around my whole face and to my chest, and many stores in New York will permit this. And I also have a bandana that I wear that I can like pull up over my nose and mouth, you know, when entering the store. But, you know, from a cycle that may sound silly, you're like, you're basically still wearing a mask, but, from a psychological and spiritual perspective, these alternatives that like the bandana I wear is a tarot cloth. So it's, you know, I designed that cloth. There's a lot of healing and power to it. I also, the clear kind of shields that I wear, my face is still exposed. I can still smile. I still feel like my throat chakra is open. A lot of times, even when I'm walking, even if I have a bandana on, I open my mouth wide, like throat chakra activate. It just makes me feel safe. And it's, you know, it is kind of that balance of being respectful and following those guidelines, but still doing what I can to make myself feel not in trauma and to feel safe. And it's not something I talk about much. I just kind of found these ways that I could best make myself feel better and, you know, do what I could to invoke minimal triggering while respecting others. And though this hasn't been directed at me, I will tell you, I have seen and felt a lot of hatred being thrown around. And I met up with some friends for a walk, and one of them, who, mind you, she is an incredibly kind and loving and, you know, intelligent human. As she arrived, she told us she was walking up to meet us, and she was in such a good mood because she was going to see us. And she turned, you know, right on a street and saw a couple of people without masks. And she's like, I got so angry, and I just got in such an angry mood. And I calmly asked her, okay, like, why did they make you feel so angry? And she said, it's ignorant and it's disrespectful. And then we eventually got to the point that it makes her feel afraid that they would be spreading it and affecting more people and causing this to last even longer. And, you know, I was like, that's a completely, you know, I understand your answer. It's valid. I get that. I honor your truth. And I said, I know this is a highly unpopular opinion, but I would have felt safer and less triggered on that street. And here's why. And for the first time, I shared my story. And, you know, I don't think this is something I've told any of my ex-wife knows, but any of my friends in New York. It's something that I just kind of, I left rural Pennsylvania. I was like, I'll never live there again. I feel safe and I'll always be in a big city where I'm, you know, accepted as who I am. But this is Saturn retro coming right back up. So I told her that, you know, I've carried shame around this. I feel bad that masks are triggering to me. I wish the virus was triggering to me. I think that's much, you know, I mean, I, who knows, but I would feel like I had more support and I could talk more openly. But for whatever reason, this is the thing that invokes trauma in me. And I have carried shame around it. And I felt very alone in what I was experiencing, like went straight back to being that little bullied kid that, you know, I always questioned things and I didn't fit in. And it was very clear that, you know, it was kind of like, shut up and submit and be like us, you don't belong. Except this time, my family couldn't move me to Amsterdam, where I would feel instantly safe. I couldn't take myself to Toronto or to New York, where, you know, the New York I once knew, where everyone was free to walk down the streets as they are and as they felt the most safe and secure. So, you know, I explained to my friend that I swallowed this, and that's why I made all of my over-the-top hats that, like, I half joke about, and everyone's like, oh, like, you're always, you know, even in quarantine, you're styling, but also these feel like protective armor to me. And I told her that I Googled trauma around masks, like secretly at home, to see if I was the only person that was experiencing this. And turns out I'm not. It turns out I'm not completely alone. Many people who have been attacked by others in masks or who have had their mouths forced closed in acts of aggression are also experiencing similar psychological traumas right now. So after I shared this, she said, wow, I never even thought about that. And like, thank you for telling me that. And she said, I don't think that was the case with the people I passed on the street who didn't have masks on. I think they were just acting out of rebellion, but I guess you never know someone else's story or reasoning. So like, thank you. And I appreciate, you know, that you sharing that. And I told her that I was like, this is just my truth and I honor yours. And I'm so grateful that we can have these very open but very kind conversations to kind of help neutralize the polarities and understand and support each other better. You know, I wrote a post recently, if you follow my Instagram, likening this whole global situation to Dr. Seuss's kids' book about the Sneetches. It was my favorite book when I was little, and it's basically a story about unnecessary division and shaming that occurs when we think our way is superior or the only right way. And we learn in the story that the only character benefiting from that is, his name is Sylvester McMonkey McBean, and he's a salesman, and he's pitting the Sneetches against each other for the sheer sake of power and profit, which sounds a little bit familiar to me. I think so much fear is being thrown at us right now, and I think it is absolutely aimed to divide us, to make us like the Sneetches, believe that our truth is the only truth, and the others are wrong, the others are bad, they're making us unsafe, whether through germs or whether through stripping of freedoms or whether through psychological trauma. I'm right, you're wrong. And that's really causing so much, just so much fear and so much hatred, causing individuals to lash out at each other. You know, I have, thank you for all of my amazing, loving listeners and followers on my social. I have nothing but love coming at me. And I curated an Instagram in a way that really kind of, I believe, set the home for that. But I don't, you know, I don't use Facebook. I don't use a lot of other mediums. And I've been hearing this of just people lashing out. And even energetically through as simple as, you know, my friend feeling so much anger and rage towards complete strangers that you pass because you perceive them as different than you. And while I do absolutely believe it's still incredibly important to trust and stand in our own inner voice, our sovereignty, our truth, I think we still, it's helpful. You know, I think it's beneficial now more than ever to have empathy for others and try to see things from their perspective. Look at, you know, their truths. What would that feel like from that perspective? Even if that's never going to become our perspective, it can just help us operate from a place of kindness and help neutralize that anger and fear of the other. So basically, that was my Saturn retrograde lesson. I never really went into those feelings. I mean, I was a kid. I wasn't in therapy. I didn't really know how to process. All I really knew was I felt immense relief and immense gratitude to move far, far away from the U.S. at that point. I was like, get me to another country. I loved Amsterdam. It's one of my favorite cities still. It was the first place I experienced where it was different to be okay. You could dress, be, express yourself freely. I was, my best friends in high school were from all different, you know, ethnicities, all different religions, all different countries. I had friends in high school. I knew people that were gay, straight, bisexual. And all I knew was I never wanted to go back to feeling so persecuted and being so bullied and ostracized and physically threatened for being different. So I was like, I'll always be in a big city. And I moved from one big city to a bigger and bigger one. I went from, you know, Amsterdam, Toronto, Montreal, New York. And I just felt if they don't want me, if they're mean to me, I will always have the freedom to leave. And I won't be a victim. I won't complain, but I will pick up and I'll go where people will be accepting and they'll be kind. And now Saturn retrograde is really testing that for me. Like that mean teacher, just where are you going to go? She's staring at me at the front of the classroom. Where are you going to go now? Saturn seems to say. So I'm starting to look at these things and have the courage to share them for myself and also hopefully to help others. So yeah, basically things that you may not have fully felt, may not have fully dealt with, they may pop up again in this time, which goes all the way through September. So basically it's like we're in summer school, which is so freaking apropos for Saturn retrograde. So yeah, anyway, let's take a look at our very last week of May's cards. So as you know, Taurus rules the Hierophant, and we're officially in Gemini season. That started Thursday, May 21st, but we're going to go more into that, the Lover's energy, June's cards, summer solstice. Oh, so much happiness. Next episode, the June overview is just going to, I might even bring some confetti. But anyway, as you know, I work with the same card for the entirety of a month, based on numerology. So yes, the Hierophant's ruled by Taurus, but it's also the fifth card and aligned to the fifth month. So this is our last week of May, last week of the Hierophant. And the Hierophant, as we know by now, if you've been listening, is the Oprah card, that teacher of life lessons and those milestone and aha moments. And I feel like these have been coming up probably since the beginning of quarantine. We've been feeling a little bit of Hierophant probably back to Pisces season even. But this is coming through in May in a very strong, grounded way, using that earth energy of Taurus. That's encouraging us to really kind of ground, go into those energies rather than numbing, running, avoiding. And these come in to heal and to up-level us, even when they feel very challenging, really, really shitty at times. But one of, you know, the sayings, and I've said this in the past, that always comes up for me with the Hierophant is the only way out is through. Really going into them, really facing them. And when we go into those Hierophant lessons, kind of with willingness and grace, we always feel better after. And this can also be extra impactful. It's like a double dose of this during Saturn's retrograde. But when we're willing to go into those tough lessons, we can heal them ourselves and even then be able to help, you know, if not help others, just in doing that inner work, you know, help be more understanding of others, of like, oh, that, you know, my trigger may be different than that person's, but I know what it's like to feel that afraid. I know what it's like to feel that unsafe. And I looked at that and I sat in it and I really worked with it. And therefore, I can have empathy for that person over there who's still in so much fear. Our second card of the month we have from the January 2020 overview, we got the badass Angelina Jolie Empress energy. I love the Empress and I love her during a Venus retro because she brings that embodiment of Venus, that very divine feminine creator. She's really all about putting birthing, fertility, putting out to the world while also freeing ourselves of burdens and temptations of that kind of like patriarchal side of things of like scheduling, rushing, worrying, planning. The Empress is like all in due time, my friend. It's coming. So I love working with her during this Venus retrograde period because she being ruled by Venus, it's almost like she's encouraging us to embrace that inner power and access our divine feminine in order to overcome some of those interpersonal, some of those self-love issues that Venus retrograde can bring up. Now for our card of the week. Okay, let's take a look. Page of Swords. Okay. This is actually the perfect page, the perfect card to navigate these retrogrades and to help us kind of efficiently move into Gemini season. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this card shows like this young man, almost like, because pages are kind of the youth, right? They're the kids. So it's almost like this boy becoming a young man, and he's optimistically holding the sword up in the air, and he's holding it a little gingerly, like he's learning how. And he's has it mostly in his left hand, denoting that feminine receiving side, as if he's just received kind of these truths and this knowledge, and he's supporting that weight with his right hand or giving hand, showing that he's ready to kind of use and share some of this knowledge to put it out to the world. As the court cards are ruled by the elements and elements by the card and the suite, so page and swords, they don't have the astrological elements, but the pages, which are representative of earth, and then we have the swords, which are air. So it's kind of that grounded earth energy with that forward motion of air coming from swords. So it's grounding into your truth so that you can kind of give motion to it, kind of put it out there. I drew this card in my deck as Gal Gadot, as Wonder Woman in Badass Bitches Tarot, because it feels to me like a moment when you're beginning to accept and ground into your own truth so that you can find a way to use it to best assist the world, to really start to stand in your purpose. I also feel like there's a curiosity around the Page of Swords that encourages us to ask questions, to delve deeper, to work to understand ourselves more clearly. And as a result, we ask questions of each other and try to understand each other better as well before jumping to conclusion. It reminds us that, like Wonder Woman, we can stand in our power while still operating from a place of kindness and openness and empathy. So since I didn't get any questions this week for this episode specifically, I'm going to wrap a little bit early and end by sharing this post that my mom sent to me from her neighbor. And I think she got it through her like neighborhood app, because my mom's making free masks still. She's made hundreds at this point, and her neighbors have sent her beautiful messages and shared things. So she shared this with me, and because she thought I would enjoy the sentiment, and I do. So I posted this on Instagram. I wish I could source the woman that created or shared this with my mom, but here it is. Be kind. Some people don't agree with your area reopening. That's okay. Be kind. Some are still scared of getting the virus and fear a second wave happening. That's okay. Be kind. Some are sighing with relief to go back to work, knowing that they may not lose their businesses or their homes. That's okay. Be kind. Some are thankful they can finally have a surgery that has had to been put off. That's okay. Be kind. Some will be able to interview for jobs that are opening after months of unemployment. That's okay. Be kind. Some will wear masks for weeks or even months. That's okay. Be kind. Some people will rush out to get their hair or their nails done. That's okay. Be kind. The point is, everyone has different viewpoints and different feelings. And that's okay. Please be kind. Thank you so much. I love you all, and I know that my listeners are the kindest, most magical of beings. I am so grateful for you, for your feedback, for your beautiful DMs and emails in this time. So I'm happy to share that with you, no matter, you know, what you're experiencing, what you're going through, what your fears, what your triggers may be. I support you, I love you, and I will always be kind to you. So before we head out, I just wanted to confirm I will still be doing my Instagram lives as usual, usually Monday 7 or 7:30, depending on what my other reading schedule looks like. So do stay tuned Monday Eastern time, 7 or 7:30 at CardsEB. You can always send your question through in advance. It is a great way to get a free live mini reading. They're about 5 minutes on the lives, and it's a good time if you can't afford a reading to come in and experience a free one. So definitely check it out at CardsEB. And like I said, you can message through in advance if you're not going to be able to attend. It does stay up for 24 hours. As I mentioned, I've also been doing a lot more free online content. A lot of you have noticed that. Instagram TVs, I've been doing collaborations with other healers. You can still check out. I did a big free intro to tarot class that's still available. I'm going to link to that in the notes, as well as a follow-up tarot Q&A that is now available on their site as well. The May tarot scopes are still up on BCBG. I think I'm going to be doing some June tarot scopes with them, which I'll keep you posted about. And I'm also continuing to add additional content. So that's all up on badassbitchestarot.com and at CardsEB on Instagram. I love you all so, so much. Stay safe. Stay positive as you can through these retrogrades. Keep your head up. I mean, definitely go into what you need to go into, but it's like the Wheel of Fortune teaches us, this too shall pass. And as always, stay magical AF.